feet and he went unconscious, his limbs falling limp. Sophia still clutched the controls in a white-knuckle grip, vessels throbbing across her forehead. Alpha seemed to be the only one unaffected, and she re-engaged the shields when the upheaved ship started to settle. "Second torpedo incoming," her voice called out, shrill over the sound of alarms and groaning bulkheads. The shields shimmered once again as blinding light flooded the bridge. This explosion seemed more ferocious than the first, and Tag thrashed in his harness hard enough that he bit his tongue and tasted blood. The scent of burning plastic permeated the air, adding to the chaos, as Tag realized something had fried. Something else must have gone wrong. Sophia cried out something incomprehensible, her words buried in the din. It was as though the ship was clenched in hell's clutches, full of anger and fire and pain. But still, the Argo pushed spaceward. The shaking settled, the groaning bulkheads quieted. Pain still hung over Tag, threatening to pull his mind into a fugue as they careened through the clouds, and all shipboard sensors went dark. He forced his eyes to remain open and glued to the viewport and hollow screens. Each screen showed only blank charts and reports, flickering occasionally with a screen of static. Cracks of green lightning burst around them for several long seconds. Then the rattling ceased. No more tongues of flame or violent explosions. No more torpedoes blinking on the hollow projection. They were back in space. Outside ETA-5's malicious grasp, escaped from the torpedoes and search vessels. Tag watched the planet grow smaller as they accelerated away. He said a silent goodbye to the world that had tried to kill him over and over. "No more incoming torpedoes," Alpha said. "Very good," Tag said. His voice sounded muddled. A ringing in his ears persisted as he punched a command to silence the alarms on his terminal. "Calculate trajectory for hyperspace. Back to the last known coordinates of the Montenegro." "Yes, Captain," Alpha said. Sophia wiped her forehead with the back of her hand and leveled out their relative altitude. She kept the ship at full acceleration, putting as much distance between the Argo and any pursuing ships as possible. "Corin, are you okay?" Tag asked. The mechanic didn't respond, but Alpha answered for him. "My sensors indicate his heart rate has returned to normal for his species. He is alive, though he remains unconscious." Then Alpha looked up from her terminal. "Captain, we have new contacts." The bridge's central hollow screen lit up with a chart of the ETA system. A storm of red dots blinked around them. More red dots than there was snow on ETA-5. Hostiles. Everywhere. An entire drone mech fleet. The outboard cams showed a lurking carrier drifting in open space. Smaller escort destroyers and a couple of battlecruisers coasted near the large ship, looking like enormous wolves waiting for prey. A flurry of lights glowed and cut through the space between the ominous ships, signifying shuttles zipping between the warships of the impressive fleet. Tag ruefully thought that the phrase, "out of the frying pan and into the fire," had never been more accurate. Sophia let out a long sigh. "I guess this answers where those search vessels came from." Chapter 50. Tag knew there would be no surviving any barrages of fire from these ships, no outmaneuvering, no survival in open combat. Running was their only option. "Let's get that calculation on the hyperspace trajectory, Alpha."
"I am encountering obstacles to our progress," Alpha said.
"What do you mean?" Sophia asked, her tone curt.
"There's no way I can fly around these guys. We need to jump."
Already several fighters blinked on their hollow screen on a warpath to the Argo. "Screw those damn obstacles," Tag yelled.
"I'm afraid that isn't possible. I've discovered strange data streams trying to insert foreign code into our AI systems."
"Damn it, of course," Tag bellowed. The mech drones were at it again, subverting the Argo's AI. The ship had been protected by the ETA-5 atmospheric anomaly before, and the smaller search vessels didn't seem to have the same capabilities as whatever fleet ships were infecting their computer systems now. "Can you hold them off?"
"I'm working on it," Alpha said. "But I'm finding it difficult to both calculate a trajectory and defend against the barrage of cyber attacks."
"Skipper," Sophia said, "incoming fire, at least 36 torpedoes, and by the looks of the grav signatures, several nuclear warheads. They're looking to obliterate us."
Tag undid his harness and raced across the bridge, his heart thrashing against his ribs like a bird fighting to be free of its cage.
He grabbed Corin's shoulders and gently shook the unconscious mechanic. Come on, buddy. We need your help right now. Blood trickled from one of Corin's ears. The mechanic's bodies truly were weaker than those of humans.
Combining his more fragile anatomy with a safety harness and crash couch fit for shorter, wider humans, Tag understood why Corin had suffered the worst during their escape from ETA-5.
But understanding wouldn't help rouse him now. I know you're hurting, but we need you.
Tag tried to stir him more earnestly, shaking more fervently. He might be able to fill in for Corin on weapons, but they needed the mechanic awake for his cyber expertise.
Without Corin, Tag hesitated to think about their chances should the incoming drone mech virus succeed.
Corin's good eye blinked slowly.
What? There's an attack on our AI systems.
Corin's slack expression tightened and he sat straighter. One hand grasped the side of his head, his long fingers smeared the blood in his short fur.
We're in space?
We are. There's a fleet of drone mechs breathing down our neck. Fighters, torpedoes, everything is headed our way. The only way out of here is a hyperspace jump. Got it?
Okay, Corin said, appearing more lucid with each second. My head.
I know. I'm sorry, Tag said. I'll get you treated as soon as we make the jump. Deal?
Captain, I've been making deal after deal with you since I met you. No more deals. This is about survival. I'm part of your crew, whether you like it or not. I'll make sure we get to hyperspace safely.
That's what I like to hear. Tag raced back to his crash couch and buckled himself in.
How long do we have? Corin asked.
60 seconds until contact with enemy fire, Sophia said.
Adjust course 40 points to port away from incoming fire, Tag said. Pinpricks of light glowed blue and red in the distance, brighter than the stars, growing ever closer. The torpedoes were in sight. Corin toiled at his terminal and Alpha worked at hers. Tag clenched the armrests as worry flooded through him, tightening his grip on the crash couch.
Come on. Come on.
30 seconds, Sophia said, pulling hard on the ship's controls.
How's that trajectory coming? Tag asked. He fought to keep his voice calm.
I believe we've almost reestablished our firewall against the incoming drone mech AI viruses, Alpha said.
I'm not asking about the AI. I want to know how soon before we jump.
AI systems are now stable enough to initiate trajectory calculations.
Just now? Tag asked.
15 seconds until first impact, Sophia said. A beat of tense silence followed. 10 seconds.
Trajectory solution found, Alpha said.
Initiate hyperspace jump, Tag roared. Alpha pressed a button on her terminal. 5 seconds, Sophia shouted.
The glowing thrusters of the torpedoes and warheads lit up the bridge. It was as if all the stars in space were falling on them in that moment. The T-drive screamed for a second until its high-pitched shriek settled into a low growl, and the Argo exploded forward. Inertial dampeners fought through the transition into hyperspace, and Tag's stomach flipped over, the throngs of pain throughout his body intensifying as G-forces slammed against him. Then it stopped. All enemy contacts, all incoming barrages evaporated from their star charts. Green and purple waves of plasma cracked against the viewport like waves lapping at the shore. They were in hyperspace, safe at last. Tag stood stretching, his pulse still thundered in his ears, and he felt the lingering touch of adrenaline in his twitching fingertips.
Alpha, damage report.
Point defense cannons are down. One grav impeller is at 70% of functional from the torpedo blast. Hull integrity is adequate for continued hyperspace stress, but repairs to the cargo bay may be necessary. Onboard sensors report the energy shield generators are non-functional.
Thank you.
Have the repair bots triage and fix the damage. Start with the defensive systems.
Yes, Captain.
Sophia let go of her controls and let the AI systems handle the flight.
We've got 4 days of hyperspace travel before we reach the Montenegro. I could use that many days of sleep.
Feel free to find yourself a cabin and make yourself at home.
Thanks, Captain.
Sophia cracked her knuckles as she left the bridge.
Corin, you want to follow me into the medbay? Tag asked.
I hope you have painkillers compatible with my biology.
Corin massaged his temple with his fingers. And we should get that crash couch refitted.
Plan to stay long, do you? Tag asked.
As long as this mission takes.
Alpha, you have the bridge, Tag said.
Yes, Captain, she responded.
They trod into the passageway and began the walk to the medbay. And if these past few hours are any indication, it's going to be a while. When they reached the medical bay, Tag realized in all the madness of escaping ETA-5, they hadn't done anything with the mechanic body in the lab. The hatches opened and the dead mechanic was still strapped in where he and Sophia had left it, visible through the polyglass barrier between the lab and the rest of the medbay.
"Ah, did you find anything out?" Corin asked.
He acted as if seeing a body mid-autopsy was as normal as if they were simply walking by a civvy drunk on gut fire and sleeping one off in a space station passageway.
"I did."
Tag let his muscles unwind but remained on guard. Corin may have reacted calmly toward the deceased pirate, but he feared the news he was about to share wouldn't be taken so kindly. Chapter 51. Tag traced Corin's skull with the handheld MRI. "We were in the middle of a few tests. Once we fix you up, I'll show you everything."
"Sounds fair."
Corin waited patiently as Tag analyzed the images he'd taken of the mechanic's brain and skull. But Tag wasn't only looking for symptoms of an injury. He had pre-programmed the handheld MRI to search for any indications the nanites had a stranglehold on the mechanic's brain. The hollow projection glowed across Corin's face as he looked into his own mind, scanning the medical images with Tag.
"Does everything look good?" the mechanic asked.
"No internal bleeding, no fractures," Tag said. The heavy weight of apprehension lifted from his shoulders as he studied the hollow projected brain. There was no sign of nanites. Corin wasn't, as far as he could tell, a drone mech.
"Probably just a concussion."
"Good. Any of your human painkillers work to block out my pain receptors? My head feels like an ice god is sitting on it."
"Let me check."
Tag ran the medbay's pharma AI systems. The AI used the data from the autopsied mechanic's brain to assess any matches with human medicines, running compatibility and efficacy simulations. After a few seconds, several candidates glowed on the hollow screen.
"Perfect. We've got some good choices."
He felt Corin's single working eye on him as he cycled through the dispensary's hollow screen. He wished he could give Corin more powerful painkillers, something to knock him out or numb his senses, making him more docile for what he was about to tell him. But he knew the mechanic deserved better than that. He needed to do this, fast. Like downing hyperspace sickness pills. You didn't want to suck them down slowly, lest they dissolve on your tongue, letting their bitter, bile-like taste linger too long. Swallow them quickly and get it over with. But no matter how quickly you downed them, they still left a lingering pang of nausea residing in the gut. Tag expected telling Corin about the nanites would leave him feeling sicker than a whole pill bottle of hyperspace sickness meds. Guilt already ate at his conscience, and he feared it would only be intensified when he became the target of Corin's ire. But it had to be done. He warranted it was better than the alternative. Better than letting Corin figure it out on his own, as if he wasn't going to be suspicious enough about the humans.
"So can I get those pills, Captain? Doctor? Whatever you'd prefer, I call you."
"Tag is fine."
Corin laughed. An actual throaty laugh. "Not fine by me. You deserve a little more respect than that. Without you, we wouldn't have gotten off ETA-5.
"I'm not sure about that." Tag selected a pair of synthoids from the dispensary. Two purple pills spit out of the machine and into a small plastic cup. "You, Sophia, and Alpha were all just as important, if not more, than me."
"Ah, but that's where you owe yourself more credit. You brought Alpha to life. You survived ETA-5 to bring Sophia here, and you gave me a chance. You learned our strengths quickly enough to take advantage of them. Most crews train for months together before their first fight. At least mechanics do.
I suppose humans aren't much different." Tag brought the pills to Corin and dropped them into his outstretched, skinny hand. The mechanic had no idea of the real cause of Tag's diffidence, and it made the guilt weighing on Tag that much heavier. Corin swallowed the pills unquestioningly.
"You let us play to our own strengths. That's the best thing you can ask of a leader, a captain, one who recognizes what his crew can and can't do.
He patted his belly as he continued. Most novice captains will find the faults in their crew. They'll run simulations and countless hours of training trying to correct those weaknesses. But what they neglect are the crew's talents. They neglect their strengths, and even the brightest crystal dulls without consistent polishing. A good captain understands his crew's imperfections, but he doesn't dwell on them. Instead, he knows where they belong on the bridge. He knows how to assign them the right roles to escape an ice god, get them off ETA-5, and avoid a fleet of hostile spacecraft when all the odds are stacked against them. The flattering words hit Tag like radiation leaking from a fusion reactor. He wanted to be energized by them. Any other day, they would heedlessly swell his pride. But now it only made him feel remorseful. And for what? It wasn't as if he had personally enslaved the mechanics through these nanites, but he was the human that had to tell Corin about them. "What I'm saying," Corin continued, "is that for a medical officer and technologically inferior human, you performed admirably." A crease formed in his fur-lined brow. "And you shouldn't be so humble. Humility can be a becoming trait to my species, and as I've come to understand, yours as well. But you must also learn more confidence. You seem very uncertain right now." Corin was right, though the mechanic had mistaken the reason for Tag's reticence. Tag stepped over a terminal and beckoned Corin to join him. "I need to show you something." "Please." Corin folded his thin arms over his chest. A hollow projection of the nanite structure appeared before them, magnified a billion times. "This is what I think is responsible for the drone mech's actions." Tag clicked another command on the terminal and the nanite shrank, then disappeared. The hollow projection of a mechanic brain materialized, along with a diagram of the process depicting the nanite's self-assembly into an antenna. "These nanites are turning your people into remote-controlled droids." "Grace be to the machines," the mechanic muttered, his good eye widening. He leaned toward the projection. "What a feat of engineering. I've never seen such technology." He manipulated the hollow projection and scanned the data Tag had compiled. "This is rather intriguing. The chemical structures indicate this may be based on rather primitive nanoparticle technology, but this is the first time I've encountered nanites capable of self-assembly with the purpose of controlling another organism." Tag stood silent, letting the mechanic soak in the ethereal radiance of the hollow projection. "Such technology would be characteristic of a ruthless species. One baffles at the implications of species-scale enslavement. It's almost tantamount to genocide." Corin shook his head slowly. Tag looked up at him and saw both the bemusement and sadness in his single intelligent golden eye. "If it's our first time coming across something like this, it must be yours as well. So I don't expect you to have an answer, but you don't have any guesses as to the source of this material, do you?" "Actually," Tag gulped, "I do." Chapter 52. Tag mustered all the confidence he could. It wasn't much. "I'm not sure how to say this, so I'm going to ask that you at least hear me out."
"Of course. One does not destroy the courier drone if one does not appreciate the message."
"Good. Let's keep that in mind." Tag rubbed at the stubble under his chin, trying to figure out where to begin. His mind whirled back to his hyperspace nausea medicine analogy. Best just to get to the point and get it over with. "These nanites are of human origin." Any lingering trace of confusion or sorrow in Corin's face melted. His expression turned as frozen and solid as the ice on ETA-5. Tag continued before the mechanic could say anything. "This technology was banned and was supposed to have been eradicated by our government over 300 years ago. In fact, it was the old Earth government, the United Nations, that prohibited it. The SRE has never, as far as I know, pursued this type of nanite weaponization."
"But humans developed the original technology."
"Yes," Tag said with reluctance, "I'm afraid so, but I want to assure you, as a medical and science officer, I've never seen any projects bordering on this kind of barbarism. And to top it off, we never even knew of your species' existence. The only ships that have ever passed this way are the UNS Hope and the SRES Hanno. We lost the Hope, and the Hanno never reported anything about aliens other than the Forinths. So it would be extremely unlikely that the SRE has been pursuing this project to enslave your people and turn them against your species.
As far as you know.
Sorry?
As far as you know, Corrin repeated in a menacingly calm tone. He jabbed a long finger into Tag's chest. You are only a medical officer aboard a small research vessel. Is it not possible that another group somewhere in your fleet was pursuing these technologies unbeknownst to you?
I suppose, but and is it not possible, Corrin said louder and more forcefully,
that someone in your government or military did know about our species, and if so, they would have no reason to tell you, especially if they had organized a campaign with the enslavement of our people in mind.
Yes, but that isn't now. You're bringing me to your capital ship. You bring not only me, but also the knowledge of where the rest of our free civilization is sheltered.
And another species might be responsible for the nanites, Tag said. Something or someone neither of us knows about could be using this technology.
Do you believe that? Do you truly think that's the case?
Tag could no longer lie. His mouth went dry.
No. No.
He hung his head. The nanites shared an almost perfect match with the technology that was banned on Earth centuries ago.
I believe you humans have a term for such a dilemma as this. Occam's razor, no?
Right, Tag said, knowing full well what the alien referred to. The principal stated that the simplest explanation was often the correct one. None of the complicated scenarios in which Tag had imagined another alien species stealing these nanites without a trace or developing them independently held up to Occam's razor. But I assure you, I have nothing to do with this. I want to help you. I want to help the free mechanics.
A fine and convenient thing for you to say. It doesn't matter what your intentions are. It is the intentions of the humans I have not met. The intentions of your SRE fleet that worry me. Corrin slammed his fist against a nearby exam bed. I should be with my people. And here, I've left them practically defenseless and unwarned.
His lips peeled back into a snarl.
Maybe you were right. Maybe I should have stolen your ship and absconded with the rest of my people.
Corrin stomped out of the medbay and disappeared into the passage, leaving Tag reeling and alone in the medbay. He wanted to run after the mechanic, to beg him to listen to him, to believe him. But he'd been hard-pressed to show Corrin the same respect before, so why should he expect anything different from Corrin now, especially after what he'd revealed to him? Another set of footsteps, heavier but less rushed, sounded. Then Alpha wandered through the hatch. I apologize for leaving my post, Captain, but I heard what I inferred to be a fight. You asked me to tell you if Corrin might harbor any harmful intentions. I believe his current mood suggests that he does.
Thank you, Alpha. Your assessment is all too accurate, I'm afraid.
Shall I throw him in the brig?
No, no, don't do that.
Alpha cocked her head. Are you certain?
Yes, absolutely.
Very well, then. I'll note your response. My assessments would suggest the pragmatic action would be to restrict the movement of a potentially dangerous life form within the ship, though I suppose I have much to learn about human logic and thoughts. I will devote this time in hyperspace to reviewing the human psyche. Is it all right if I observe and implement the mannerisms and thought processes you and Sophia exhibit?
Sure.
Maybe a thorough study of human history and behavioral psychology is in store for me.
Just be careful, Tag said. In his mind's eye, he pictured the nanites again and the depravity of humans that had led to their invention. On second thought, maybe hold off on integrating all that into yourself. From what I've seen so far, you're an intelligent life form. Don't go mucking it up by trying to be too human.
Chapter 53. Enough tension filled the next several days in hyperspace that Tag figured he could replace the energy shields with it.
He had tried to reason with Corin, to tell him there must be a good explanation for everything that had transpired. But Corin had refused to listen. Instead, the mechanic relegated himself to fulfilling his duties and nothing more. He spent most of his hours in a small cabin he'd claimed as his own. Tag wondered if the only thing preventing Corin from taking the Argo straight back to ETA 5 was the vow he'd made before they'd left. He had proven time and time again that he was true to his word. The alien was bound by honor to a fault, and it pained Tag to have a crew member serving his role aboard the ship as no more than a husk of his former self. Every bit of personality, energy, and determination that Corin had once exuded, no matter how infrequently the mechanic had shown emotion before, now seemed to have disappeared faster than light sucked into a black hole. Tag couldn't fathom being in Corin's position. Couldn't imagine what it must be like to know he was headed into the hands of what he must perceive to be the aliens who had conquered and enslaved his own species, knowing that he might have inadvertently already given up the last free remnants of his society to those same enemies. But still, Tag wanted desperately to extend an olive branch, something to win back favor with the mechanic. He wasn't yet convinced the SRE was behind this. He was willing to concede that the nanites had come from humans, but maybe it was a faraway colony or splinter group that bore the responsibility for the horrifying genocide. Tag couldn't imagine that any of his SRE flag officers, on hearing about the mechanic's fate, would react with anything less than disgust and outrage. Surely, not only would a good admiral offer to shelter the mechanics, but they would also begin an aggressive campaign to root out any malcontents within the human race who had decided to reawaken this forbidden nanite weapon. "How's research going?" Sophia asked, striding into the medbay with a cup of coffee and dashing Tag's thoughts. The aroma of the hot drink called to him, reminding him of the heaviness dragging down his eyelids and the exhaustion seeping through him, but he couldn't rest. Not now. "We've characterized how the nanites affect the brain." He gestured to Alpha, standing stern over a terminal, her eyes scanning it in rapid movements and her alloy fingers in a frenzy inputting commands. Rather, Alpha has done most of the characterizing. I mean, good God, soon enough she won't even need any of us on this ship. She can damn well do everything on her own.
"That isn't quite true," Alpha said. "You all serve as admirable companions and provide me necessary social interaction. That is something I cannot do alone."
Sophia grinned.
I'm sure if you try hard enough, you can find a way."
She set the coffee down on the terminal, and her expression grew serious. "Any progress on finding a way to reverse the nanite damage?"
Tag scrolled through the numerous simulations and experiments he and Alpha had run, as if that would help him find what couldn't be found. "No. Nothing." Alpha didn't look up from her work, but started to speak.
"Everything we've discovered points to permanent changes in the neurological tissue of the mechanics. Not only that, but we have discovered that the nanites fundamentally alter the DNA of their hosts." "For what reason?"
Even Alpha appeared forlorn when she looked up and locked eyes with Sophia.
"As far as we can tell, it is a fail-safe mechanism. Should the nanites malfunction or an outside party attempt to remove them from their host, the host will die. The genetic alterations made by the nanite induce apoptosis, a programmed cell death, in all tissues. This leads to complete organ failure and neurological destruction."
"There's no way to bring the mechanics back?"
"No," Alpha said. "Our work demonstrates such recovery is highly unlikely, in fact, near impossible, given access to any and all SRE technology that is available to us."
"Surely there's something we can do," Sophia said, tracing the edge of her coffee cup with a finger.
"I refuse to believe the only solution is to kill the drone mechs."
"I wish we could," Tag said. "But the genetic engineering prowess required to alter the mechanic's DNA is incredible. There appear to be special protective enzymes and additional nuclear and cellular membrane-bound glycoproteins that..."
"Pardon me, Skipper, but can I get that in English?" Sophia asked.
Tag paused. The intricacy of the biological underpinnings of the technology they'd uncovered had astonished him. He imagined it felt to him what it must be like for a primitive human tribe encountering an airplane or spaceship for the first time. He could see the intent of the technology, but there was no way he could imagine understanding it in his lifetime.
Basically, whoever developed these nanites has a grasp on synthetic biology beyond anything I've ever thought humans on Earth were capable of.
But you said there was a very high probability these were man-made.
I did, and that's why I'm afraid there's something else going on here. I'm really hoping someone in the SRE has some answers.
Me too, Sophia said, gazing away distantly. For Corin's sake.
A robotic voice, the ship's AI, came over the intra-ship comms. Normal space fidelity sector, ETA 30 minutes.
30 minutes, the words echoed in Tag's mind. Soon they'd be on the Montenegro. They would pass on word about the drone mechs and the attack on the Argo, and Tag would find out if Corin was still on their side.
Prepare for transition, Tag said to the other two. They nodded, and the trio made their way to the bridge.
Sophia readied the manual controls should anything surprise them on their transition into normal space, and Alpha loomed over the op station to monitor their trajectory. Tag sat in the captain's station and harnessed himself in. A slight twinge of relief bubbled through him when Corin entered.
The mechanic gave him only a perfunctory nod, the same non-committal mode of communication he'd employed over the past 4 days spent in hyperspace.
He wore no expression, but sat rigidly in the weapons station with the weapons unarmed and offline. Tag considered Corin with a nervous glance. On one hand, he liked being able to keep an eye on the alien, and he wanted to prove he now trusted and understood Corin's dilemma, but he also wasn't confident the alien's intentions were completely innocuous toward himself and any other humans, for that matter. Tag eyed the weapons override from his terminal. If Corin decided to turn on him, Tag was prepared to lock the mechanic out of being able to launch a barrage against the Montenegro or any other human ship. He shared a silent, knowing look with Alpha. He'd asked her again to watch Corin. Thanks to her medbay droid body with its biomonitoring sensors, she could sense even a minute mood change in Corin that might predicate any malicious actions.
We're approaching normal space, Alpha reported. The wisps of purple and green energy waves, characteristic of hyperspace travel that had been visible through the viewport, dissipated.
Normal black space. Distant pinpricks of glowing stars and a nearby planetoid coalesced around them. But those weren't the only things welcoming them back to normal space.
Alarms rang from Alpha's op station, and warnings blinked on Tag's terminal. His mind immediately raced, churning with an instinctual fight-or-flight response.
Captain, unidentified contacts, Alpha said.
Sophia, prepare for evasive maneuvers, Tag said, sitting straighter in his seat, willing himself to appear the confident leader he didn't quite feel like.
You got it.
Sophia grabbed the manual controls, sweat glistening over her forehead.
EVA suits engaged, Tag said.
Each crew member locked their helmet into place in case of depressurization or significant damage to the Argo. At least they'd be protected from the unforgiving elements of open space. That is, unless enemy fire cut through them first.
Sophia, bring us 40 points around port.
The ship turned, almost too slowly for Tag. His palms grew clammier as more stars and more distant planets appeared across the viewport. He watched the holoscreen as his station light with all the contacts they were about to face.
Give me a more precise status report, Alpha, Tag said.
Projections put us at approximately 60 contacts, Alpha said.
Most grav signatures indicate fighters or cutters. I'm seeing a large grav signal belonging to an SRE ship caught in the middle of the others. Maybe another 5 or 6 dozen SRE signatures, although they too are mostly coming up as fighters.
Label the map for us.
The live battle came into view through the viewport before the labels even popped up on the holoscreen. The blue glow of impellers marked the sleek black ship's Tag knew must be the drone mechs.
Even from this distance, with the zoomed-in views provided by the holoscreen, he could see the menacing orange viewports of the fighters and larger warships.
A few drone mech destroyers and battlecruisers circled in the distance. One massive drone mech ship slowly circled the perimeter of the battle. It dwarfed the other ships at nearly 3 times the length of the battlecruisers. Hundreds of cannons and guns bristled from its hull, and its side lit up as relentless blasts of energy and kinetic rounds spewed from its thumping broadsides.
A dreadnought, Corin said in reverence.
SRE fighters swerved and veered through the maelstrom of drone mech fighters, but they were no match for the technologically superior craft. Tag watched in horror as fighter after fighter exploded in a sea of shrapnel and energy fire.
Gods, no, Sophia muttered.
In the midst of the raging battle lay one giant SRE ship. It listed as if its pitch impellers had malfunctioned, and blue plasma vented from gaping holes in its sides. Debris clouds, full of metal fragments and what Tag feared must be bodies, sprayed into space as its cannons and torpedo bays launched round after round in desperate attempt to fend off its attacker. It looked not like the impressive piece of war machinery Tag once thought it had been, but rather as if it was a bleeding animal lashing out in the desperate throes of death. They had found the Montenegro. Chapter 54. Time seemed to slow. Silent explosions ripped through the fighters and smaller ships surrounding the Montenegro. Volleys of energy and kinetic rounds exchanged by drone mechs and SRE vessels alike left brilliant streaks through space, ripping into the sidewalls and hulls of ships with brutality on a scale Tag had never seen in person before. Several drone mech signals blinked off the holo screen as they perished under the fire of SRE fighters, desperate to defend their capital ship. But the onslaught was too much. Tag could see the humans were already losing the battle, fighting against insurmountable odds and an overwhelming force. Tag knew the meager firepower of the Argo wasn't going to turn the ill-fated direction of this unfair battle. The SRE fleet should know by now that death was inevitable. So why hadn't they already jumped away? "Hail the Montenegro," Tag said. "See how we can assist." Alpha nodded, and her silver fingers tapped at her terminal.
"I'm unable to reach them."
Then it struck him. The SRE fleet's comms were down and they hadn't jumped. Of course. He'd been through this before.
"God damn it, their AI systems are infected. Make sure our new firewalls are up. Do not let the drone mech AI viruses infiltrate our systems."
He glanced at the holoscreen again. Fighters of both sides swerved around each other in a morbid dance, trading volleys of glaring pulse fire and kinetic rounds. Six of the Montenegro's escort destroyers lashed out at the swarming drone mech fighters with everything they had in a frantic effort to defend themselves, and Tag imagined the confusion, fear, and frustration no doubt permeating their bridges like a debilitating disease. Plasma spewed from one destroyer even as it launched a fusillade of torpedoes, energy rounds, and gauze slugs into the abyss of space and buzzing flock of drone mech fighters. Two destroyers already floated, silent and useless, with enormous gashes in their sidewalls and chunks of hull and cannon suspended around them in a silent memorial of a futile battle. They lay forgotten and defeated as the single drone mech dreadnought lurked beyond them like a waiting shark. Its broadside cannons sent devastating volleys into the overwhelmed SRE fleet.
"Alpha, how long until the T-drive is spooled and ready for a hyperspace jump?" Tag asked.
10 minutes.
Sophia almost leapt from her seat.
"You're not just going to..."
"No, we're not going to run from this, but we need to be realistic." Tag leaned in, examining his holoscreen. The zoomed-in images of the slaughter were too much. He had brought his limping ship back from the dead. He'd flirted with death, been closer to it more times than he had ever been before, and now the reward for his efforts was the depressing tableau unraveling before him now. Utter destruction of the Montenegro, his closest link to humanity.
"They cannot possibly prevail," Corin said.
"Who?" Tag asked, his voice shaking. He couldn't tell whether the mechanic had condemned the drone mechs or if he had stated a fact that Tag could already see too clearly. The SRE forces were already standing with one leg in their grave. Corin's hands twitched over the weapons terminal.
"The drone mechs. We cannot let them do this to your people, too."
The surprise must have been evident in Tag's expression, even through his EVA suit's helmet.
"Just because I think there may be war criminals within your species and government does not mean I condone genocide," Corin said in a tone bordering on offended.
"Good to know," Tag said. Yet a lingering doubt resurfaced in Tag's mind. Sure, he had shown the nanites likely caused the strange behavior of the drone mechs, but how had the drone mechs located the Montenegro? He stared at Corin, uncertain, wondering if his initial suspicions had been right all along. But then he recalled the three boarders he'd killed before he crash-landed on ETA-5.
He considered asking Alpha to check the ship's logs and see if any secure data had been accessed by the drone mechs. That might explain how the drone mechs had discovered the Montenegro's existence. But a wailing alarm interrupted his thoughts. "Captain, three fighters breaking off and heading our way," Alpha said. Tag found it difficult to swallow the lump forming in his throat. He inhaled deeply. Running was not an option. They were stuck here until the T-drive spooled up, and the enemy had already spotted them. He had thought the escape from ETA-5 had tested his scrappy crew, but now he feared they were about to run the real gauntlet. A fleeting sense of dread grasped at his insides, turning them to mush, but he fought past his internal turmoil. His crew needed him on point now. "Corin, point defense ready," Tag said, maintaining a collected, confident air. "Arm the gauze and energy cannons." Unflinchingly, the mechanic prepped the weapons. The cannons hummed to life, and Tag half expected Corin to send rounds careening at the SRE forces. He tried to shake the paranoid thoughts, praying Corin would prove true to his earlier promises. "Confidence, Tag, confidence," he reminded himself.
"Fighters have launched missiles, Captain," Alpha said in her monotone voice. Tag glanced at Sophia. "Evasive maneuvers, keep our distance from the melee for now."
He needed time to think, to figure out a plan. There must be a way out of this mess, a way to save their hide and the Montenegro's. She gave a single nod and sent the Argo rocketing forward. The whole ship twisted as inertial dampeners and grav generators struggled to retain relative gravity. The heavy weight of thrust forced Tag into his seat. Bright flashes of ranking fire cut across the prow, while stars and barrel-rolling fighters spun across the bridge's viewport as if it was an oversized kaleidoscope. Sophia directed the ship away from the incoming rounds, and the energy shield safely absorbed the few rounds that did connect. "Return fire," Tag said. Without hesitation, Corin activated the targeting on the point defense systems. Blazing orange rounds marked the cannon spray as gauze slugs fired in concerted waves. Rounds peppered one of the fighters. Its energy shields provided no protection against the kinetic rounds, and dozens of new holes appeared in its opalescent hull. Gas escaped from the fleshy, shorn wounds and froze instantly in space. A brief second passed before the fighter exploded in a plume of fire, almost immediately quenched by the vacuum, and shards of polyglass and fissured alloy sped through the Stygian expanse of space. One down, Tag thought. His confidence swelled slightly after the successful maneuver, but the fighters screaming near the Argo kept his ego in check. "Bring us to bear on the second." With all adjustment impellers straining, the Argo twisted and spun on the drone mech fighter. Corin wasted no time lighting it up with kinetic fire, even as the Argo's energy shields coursed and flashed, absorbing incoming rounds. The fighter came away unscathed, and Corin shook his head, muttering to himself in disappointment. "How are we holding up?" Tag asked.
"Shield's still stable," Alpha said, "but I will need to divert more power to withstand the drone mech's fire."
"Which will increase the spool time on the T-drive."
"That is correct."
"Do it."
Sophia continued jockeying the Argo around the two fighters. Despite her best efforts, they still whipped and buzzed relentlessly near the ship like flies on a horse. Her piloting skills could only go so far in the comparatively less maneuverable Argo. If they were going to swat those two insects out of the air, it was up to Corin. The mechanic continued to lay down streams of persistent fire, but the two fighters, after witnessing the demise of their compatriot, seemed to be coming in more cautiously, bombarding the sidewalls of the Argo and zipping away to re-engage.
"I'm having a hard time locking these two down," Corin said. Orange point defense rounds and powerful kinetic slugs sprayed into space.
The rounds faded into the distance, swallowed by blackness, still not connecting with the nimble fighters. While the Argo's crew found it difficult to land a hit on their enemies, their opponents had no such trouble. Another successful strafing round crackled against the Argo's shield, and a pained groaning reverberated through the bulkheads.
"I can't shake them," Sophia yelled, frustration in her voice.
Tag's mind raced for answers. There was no way he'd let two pathetic fighters take them down. Now, when they were so close to the Montenegro, they'd be no help to the capital ship if they were blown to pieces before they even reached the main battle. But even after these fighters were done in, what in the three hells would they do next when faced with a goddamn dreadnought and its supporting fleet? He steeled himself and took a deep breath. For a moment, he wished he was back in the medical bay, dealing with patients. But even then, when casualties flowed in, when dealing with the most hopeless of injuries, he didn't give in to the overwhelming pressure threatening to crush him.
He triaged. He dealt with one thing at a time. Restore cardiac function, stop the bleeding, suture the wound, rinse and repeat. That's what he needed to do now. The two fighters drew near enough he could see the orange glow of their viewports again. There had to be a way to stop them, survive this engagement, then figure out the next step. Take this battle one step at a time.
I'm afraid I have more bad news, Alpha said. We have 6 more contacts incoming, more fighters.
No worries, Tag said. Just 6 more problems to solve. Chapter 55. The two fighters came in hot with cannons pumping steady waves of pulse fire that splashed against the Argo's energy shield. Bright flashes of green crackled where the rounds hit, and each incoming round dissipated in miniature lightning strikes, obscuring the bridge's viewport. The brilliant display of exploding energy gave Tag an idea.
Corin, I want a full charge on the energy cannon, Tag said. But even at full charge, it will be useless against their shields. Mechanic technology is...
Trust me, I know how to make it useful.
Corin shot him a dubious look, but set the energy cannon to charge anyway.
Sophia, keep us on a straight path toward the dreadnought. When these two come around again, bring us to bear 90 degrees to port.
You got it, she said.
Alpha, keep an eye on those shields. We're going to be taking a lot of fire.
Yes, Captain,
Alpha hunched over her terminal. Concentration seemed to be etched into her metallic features. The two fighters loomed in the bridge viewport again as they flew on parallel paths. Their formation made it seem as if they were two fiery eyes belonging to an enormous beast barreling through space. But as Tag had proved with the Ice God, even the most fearsome of monsters feared death.
Get a firing solution on the first fighter, Tag said.
Yes, Captain, Corin said.
Tag's holoscreen lit up, confirming Corin had locked in the fighter. The two small vessels drew closer and closer.
Corin looked at Tag anxiously, and Tag steeled himself, waiting for the right moment. A spray of energy rounds flickered and sputtered against their energy shields, and the fighters started to separate.
Port! Now! Tag said. Fire energy cannon!
The Argo turned, keeping one of the fighters in her line of sight. At the same time, the energy cannon boomed off a single powerful pulse that connected with the fighter. As Corin had warned, the energy shield on the fighter absorbed the blow, but as a consequence of dissipating all that energy, green flashes of light shimmered and burst around the no longer invisible shield in a dazzling display.
Point defense and gauze now!
Orange rounds coursed through open space toward the fighter while its shield continued to crackle and spark, still working to dissipate the enormous overload caused by the fully charged energy round. With the crackling shield blocking the pilot's field of view, the drone mech couldn't see the kinetic slugs flying toward him. Rounds chewed into the fighter's sidewalls and holes vented, instantly freezing gas for a moment before the fighter exploded in a spreading globe of fire and plasma.
Yes!
Tag pumped his fist in the air.
See how we have to do this, Corin?
I saw, Captain, the mechanic said with a little joy in his voice. Tag restrained himself from celebrating further. He reminded himself the mechanic was engaged in a losing war. Even if he lived and saved the Montenegro, it meant he bore responsibility for the deaths of thousands of his enslaved former comrades. Tag didn't envy the awful predicament the mechanic had found himself in.
The remaining fighter is joining the other 6, Alpha said. They will be within firing range in 10 seconds. My calculations suggest we will not be able to withstand direct fire from all 7 at once.
Sophia, let's stay moving on this one, Tag said, gripping his armrests tightly.
Corin, splash energy rounds across their shields for now. Blind them, then knock them out. Put that on repeat.
Can do, Corin said. He fiddled at his terminal more robotically than Alpha, undoubtedly turning off his emotions and focusing on the targets approaching their vector.
Sophia pulled back on the controls and the Argo curved past the brunt of the incoming fire. Enough rounds crashed into the Argo to make the shields light up like ETA-5's stormy skies.
The ship groaned and shook all the while, and Tag braced himself, holding tight to his crash couch. But still, he stared intently at the holoscreen.
Corin, too, didn't let the incoming fire distract him. The energy cannon shuddered as it fired pulse rounds at a rapid clip. The rounds burst against the shields of a couple fighters, and he used the pilot's momentary blindness to blast them with the kinetic weapons. Another 2 fighters tore apart, their innards exposed to unforgiving vacuum.
The field of destruction was close enough for Tag to see one of the pilot's bodies hurtle into space. He winced when he saw Corin spot the dead pilot. Another reminder to the poor mechanic of who his enemy was. To his credit, Corin didn't let up. As Sophia brought the Argo to bear on two more of the fleeing fighters, he wailed on them with the pounding cannons. One arced away unscathed, but rounds lanced into the grav impellers of the second. A few long seconds passed as the fighter soaked in the fire, then it vaporized in a brilliant wave of light and chunks of smelted alloy. Sophia yanked at her controls and the Argo veered from the pieces of the broken fighter. Several fragments of the vessel still collided with the side of the ship. "Damage report," Tag asked.
"Nothing major to report, Captain," Alpha responded.
The fighters resumed their relentless assault while they veered and swerved from the path of Corin's fire. Sophia did her best to avoid the onslaught, but still rounds connected with their shields and shook the ship, rattling them like they were an ancient Earthside roller coaster.
"Shields are at 50%, Alpha said. For the first time, alarm seemed to have seeped into her mechanical voice. "They're continuing to drop."
Sophia twisted and turned, forcing the Argo to act like an ill-suited role as a fighter. But there was only so much evading she could do, being outnumbered by the smaller, more agile craft. And as Tag watched the shields drain on his holoscreen, another three fighters broke off from the main battle to intercept them. Before these reinforcements could arrive, Corin managed to bring down another two of the fighters already attacking them. The deaths of those fighters provided sufficient reprieve to allow the Argo's shields to shimmer and start to stabilize. Enough power had already been diverted to them that they began to creep back up to 40, then 45% strength. Maybe they could take these incoming fighters. Maybe they could survive the next wave. But it wasn't those fighters that concerned Tag. Distant bursts of cannon fire and energy rounds broke up the darkness of space before them, and several more SRE-labeled dots blinked out from his holoscreen. A massive SRE destroyer split into thousands of hurtling pieces as a blinding flash of blue spread like a halo from its center. The cloud of debris enveloped another nearby destroyer. The tumbling pieces of cannons and sidewalls pinged off the Montenegro. The SRE capital ship would go down before the Argo even reached it. Without the aid of AI systems or shields, the behemoth of a ship was as defenseless as a junk cargo vessel. As the Argo bucked and fought against the teeming fighters, Tag studied his holoscreen. If only they could somehow make it to the Montenegro. He wished he had some way to port into their systems and transfer their firewalls to the Montenegro's intranet. Maybe he could if they somehow made it past the wall of malicious fighters and ships pounding the SRE fleet, but too much fire was concentrated in that direction. It would be like trying to run in a rainstorm and not get wet. No. No, there had to be another way. Tag drew his focus away from the failing Montenegro and toward the other Leviathan in this fight. "Corin, what are our chances of making it to the Dreadnought alive?"
Chapter 56. "Make it to the Dreadnought? Alive?" Corin asked, his good eye wide with disbelief. "Are you serious?"
"Yes," Tag met his gaze.
"Alive, well..."
Corin turned his attention to the holoscreen projecting the three-dimensional map of the battle.
"Assuming most of their fighters are trained on the Montenegro, we'll still have to avoid their point defense systems.
There's got to be a blind spot we can use in our approach."
"A blind spot?" "There are no blind spots on an Integrity-class dreadnought."
"Give me a weak spot then," Tech said.
"Come on, the whole ship can't have 20/20 vision."
Corin seemed perplexed by the expression, but didn't bother voicing his concern when the Argo shuddered under the hail of fire from two incoming fighters.
"Come on, boys," Sophia said. "I'd like to head some direction other than into enemy fire."
"Yes, yes," Corin said. "Point defense systems are less concentrated around the cluster of main impellers along the keel. If you stay under the dreadnought, there might be only a dozen cannons with firing solutions at a given time."
"Only a dozen," Sophia cried. "Well, gee, this will be as smooth as a shot of gutfire."
Tag didn't have time to respond to Sophia's sarcasm. The ship jerked as she ducked the Argo under a salvo of energy rounds, and
Corin finished off the fighter responsible for the incoming fire in a blaze of energy rounds and gauze slugs.
Once under the keel, is there somewhere we can board? Tag asked Corin.
Yes, there are several fighter bays along the port and starboard. We should be able to get in one.
Good, Tag said. Alpha, let's get a full ship scan of the dreadnought.
Consider it done, Captain.
In a few seconds, a hollow projection of the giant ship floated in the middle of the bridge.
Corin, mark the locations of the fighter bays. If one is open, we're going for it.
On his terminal, Corin used a slender finger to identify the fighter bays. Circles appeared on the hollow-projected ship. The hollow-projection shuddered as a fresh volley stung the Argo, and Corin shot back a reply burst, but this time the assaulting fighter came away unscathed.
Shields are back down to 40%, Alpha said.
We've got to hold out just a bit more, Tag thought, steadying himself in his crash couch.
They weren't going to last much longer fighting out in the open against the drone mech forces.
I assume you have a plan once we board them, Corin said.
Yes, Tag said.
I want you and Alpha to use the anti-AI virus against the drone mech fleet.
I suppose I can, but it's not as simple as uploading something to the dreadnought's intranet and leaving.
I assumed it wasn't, but you're the engineer. You're the one that's been spouting off about your superior technology.
That's all true, but this won't be easy.
Didn't expect it would be, but between you and Alpha, I want it done.
We'll subvert the drone mech firewalls and screw their AI systems.
See how they like it. I want to take down their shields, too.
That's going to take time, Captain.
Sophia and I will give you time. You just focus on getting it done.
More rounds sliced across the Argo's bow and slammed into the ship. Alpha's voice piped up again.
Shields at 35%.
All right, you heard her.
Tag leaned forward in his seat, studying the hollow projection of the dreadnought.
Let's do this. Get us in there, Sophia. Full thrust.
The initial acceleration shoved Tag into his chair. After a moment, the inertial dampeners caught up to the forward acceleration. But they couldn't keep up with the constant side-to-side movements of the ship as Sophia dodged intercepting fighters. Soon enough, Tag no longer needed to look through his terminal's magnified view of the dreadnought to see the ship. The entire terrifying vessel appeared before him in the viewport, decked out in sleek black armor plates and cannons spewing streams of energy and kinetic fire. Tag could practically hear the boom from each gun. He wondered how many asteroids and planets had been mined to fabricate such a monstrous war machine. But his admiration was short-lived as the dreadnought's point defense systems blazed and incoming fire burned through space toward them. The Argo jerked and twisted, avoiding fighters, missiles, and pearly laces of cannon fire alike.
Shields down to 20%, Alpha said.
She was quiet for a beat. More fire lanced into their ship, and groans echoed through the bulkheads.
Now 15.
Come on, Sophia, Tag said.
Think I already got the message,
she yelled over the din. Smaller cannons along the dreadnought's hull whirred on and spun to aim. Blue fire sprayed in front of them, then impacts resonated through the bridge and into Tag's crash couch as alarms screamed and red lights flashed.
Shields down to 5!
A ball of fire and white light blinded Tag. His ears rang and his head shot forward, then slammed back. He struggled to keep his eyes open as pain flooded his entire body. His EVA suit responded with numbing painkillers, but it could do little to stop the blackness overtaking him. His vision seemed to shrink until he saw only out of pinholes where intense light pierced his retinas. Then the ringing died down and the sound came back. He forced himself to stay awake, to stay conscious against the concussive pain pounding through his head and limbs.
"Status report!" he yelled to no one in particular.
The drone of the alarms barking through his suit's comms drowned out his muddled voice. Shock stabbed a painful knife through his gut as he surveyed the state of the bridge, and he slammed a fist on his terminal to mute the sirens. He didn't need the ship's systems to tell him they were screwed. A gaping hole in the bridge did that for him. Chapter 57
Hull integrity compromised, Alpha said. She steadied herself as the atmosphere equilibrated with open space.
The deafening, vacuum-induced silence of the cannons and fighters still firing on the Argo seemed unreal. The only sounds he heard were those of his crew through their EVA suit comms.
Sophia was cursing. Her hands were still wrapped around the controls in a death grip as she maneuvered the Argo along the dreadnought's keel. Corin grunted and groaned, firing impotently at swooping fighters. Damage reports flashed across Tag's holoscreen. The repair bots, already pushed to the limits with several lost to the deluge of incoming fire, stood no chance of keeping up with the considerable damage the ship had sustained and continued to endure. But it didn't matter. Tag was set on one goal. Make it to the fighter bay. The Argo could fall to pieces for all he cared, as long as he made it into that damned bay. "There," Tag yelled. "See that one? It's open." The fighter bay appeared like the ominous, hungry maw of a giant beast, a cavernous interior, gleaming with harsh yellow lights and rows of small spacecraft called to them, teasing them. Several fighters took off from it, flying directly at them, and the bay doors started to close. "Give her everything she's got," Tag yelled. "I'm trying," Sophia's voice rang out through his helmet's comm. "But she's limping like an old lady with gout." "Limp or not, we're getting in there."
"I estimate we only have